So tonight we've just got Malcolm speaking on anger and on how to produce the righteousness of God by staying calm and not being angry with that. The anger that man has doesn't produce the righteousness of God. So it's going to be really interesting to hear. I'm looking forward to it. It kind of is tying into our series on wisdom. So this is like a last sort of tag on to the series of wisdom. But I'll just pray for Malcolm, our brother, as he comes to share with us. Father, we thank you for Malcolm. We thank you for what you've been doing in him, in and through his life, by your Spirit, Lord. We thank you that you love Malcolm, you're for him, God, that you saved him and that you've brought him thus far. It truly is amazing grace, the work that you've done in his life. And we just pray, God, that tonight you'll use him as your servant to speak to us, to teach us, Lord, from your word, and to teach us about you, who you are, to point us to you in all that he says. So we just pray, Lord, would you strengthen him by your Spirit, give him your courage, your joy, your boldness, Lord. Fill him with these things that he might share with us as you would have him share with us. And God, we need prayer as much as him, that you would, as Aaron was talking about, that you would settle our minds, and that you'd draw our minds toward yourself, Father. By your Spirit, you'll just calm us from all that's going on in our lives, and that all that's gone on over this past week, all the hardships we might be facing, all the tiredness we might be feeling now. We just pray, God, help us to listen. Open our ears, soften our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
All right, thanks, Jamie, and thanks, Aaron, and the team as well. I thought there was a cool, like, acoustic vibes kind of worship timer, and we could have kept it going for ages, to be honest, instead of listening to me, you know, go on and on and on. But instead of hearing me talk, I do believe that God does have something to say tonight, something that's been put on my heart, sort of surprisingly as well, because, you know, I could have chosen any topic in the world, but anger of all things. But no, it is a really big privilege for me to be able to be up here, to be able to speak here. And I really do have a lot of respect and reverence for people that get up here and just offer themselves up to be used by God, to teach and to give more insight into who God is, what he's about, and how we're supposed to live to glorify him more. With that in mind, I suppose in that reverence, I am quite nervous. Even getting up here on Sunday mornings just to worship lead, I do get shaky knees and things. So the prayer is very much appreciated, bro. And it has been a challenge for me to prepare this as well. As I said, for tonight's commission, I could have had any choice of topic. I got offered anything. So I felt pretty lucky, but I thought, there's no way on earth I'm going to try and tag on to the wisdom series. Not me, you know. I mean, I look like I've been living in the bush for about 3 weeks and someone dragged me out, slapped a dress shirt on him and put me up here. But in all seriousness, I was really intimidated about it because I really don't see myself as being very wise, probably not even near the wise spectrum, let alone on it. I thought that I should talk about something that I'm interested in, you know, sort of creation or one of my favorite New Testament books. But the more I prayed, God was asking me to add to the wisdom series by speaking about something that I've found very difficult to deal with all of my life. And that thing is anger. Now, I'm definitely not joking when I say that I've struggled in a big way with anger for all my life. Just ask anyone who's been on the sports field with me or played, you know, table tennis or, I don't know, or anyone who's ever said to me that metal's not music, they would have seen me get pretty angry on that one as well. But, I was probably almost angry when I thought God wanted me to talk about anger because it's so challenging for me. But what God wants to say tonight really does apply to me just as much as it applies, if not more to me than everyone else here. First off, I think it's important to clarify that I'm not going to tell you all that that every single bit of anger is sin, and if you aren't totally okay with everything all the time, then you're a bad Christian. Obviously, this is impossible, and it's also not at all founded in Scripture. Many times in the Old Testament, we read about the anger of God. Deuteronomy 9, Moses writes about God's anger towards the Jews' constant rebellion. We also read in the Bible about Jesus being angry. In Mark 3, verses 4 and 5, we read about Jesus' interaction with a group of Pharisees who were trying to lure him into breaking the Jewish law by healing a man, thus working on the Sabbath. Mark 3, verses 4 to 5 reads this, "And Jesus said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And after looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored." So if both the Father and the Son, being totally holy and pure, having done no wrong, both have recorded displayings of anger, I think it's fair to say that anger in itself is not sinful. We need to realize that there is a time and there is a proper way to be angry. There is a way to deal positively with that emotion, and in the right environment and in the right way. The problem is that often we allow our tempers to flare, and that's how you fall into a pattern of sin. It didn't take very long at all for this to become evident in human history. In Genesis 4, we see the first ever recorded explosion of rage from mankind. And you're probably all quite familiar with the story, but I want to read it anyway, for those who might not be. So Genesis 4, starting from verse 1, if you want to follow along. It reads, "Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, 'With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man.' Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.' Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field.' And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him." Pretty fair to say that's an explosion of rage, wouldn't you agree? Cain became so filled with anger that he murdered his own brother. Now, I said this is the first anger recorded, but from what I do know about marriage, I'm pretty sure that Adam would have copped a few explosions from Eve before this, but they aren't written in the Bible, so this is the first one, all right? But the progression is very clear, isn't it? Cain felt wronged, he became angry, he didn't control it, and then he sinned in a massive way. One of the main things that I notice about this event in history is that it all starts with Cain putting himself at the center. In his mind, he's the most important thing, and therefore anything that annoys him is wrong, and he's going to respond with anger. How often do we slip into that mindset? How often do small things like someone pulling out in front of us in traffic just send us into rage mode? How often does a rough decision on the sports field or someone inconveniencing you at work make you just want to activate Hulk mode? Especially on the sports field for me. And, you know, talking about this after the cricket as well. Oh, this is difficult. This is difficult. But yeah, it's true, you know, there are so many small little gripes and irks in our life that it's easy to respond with anger or rage. But this all happens because in that moment, we're putting ourselves at the very center. We're saying that our priorities are the most important, and therefore anything that goes against them is wrong, and I'm going to respond with rage. Well, God knows the destructive power of our anger, and his word warns us to control it. James 1, verses 19 to 20, which is where I got the title for this as well, it reads this: "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I know, right? Shock, horror. Our self-centered anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God. But tonight, I just want to go through some keys, I guess, to being slow to anger. Keys to being able to just control those moments where you almost lose control, or you think about losing control. And it's all about becoming better God glorifiers, I suppose, in our lives. And I've got quite a few verses from Proverbs as well coming up that talk about what the wise man is like and what the hot-tempered person is like and stuff. And it is very key to wisdom to be able to control your temper. So the first key that I want to talk about is to count the cost of expressing your anger in whatever way you're about to. Proverbs 29:22 says, "A hot-tempered man commits many sins." Proverbs 15:18 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension." Proverbs 14, verse 29 says, "A quick-tempered man displays folly." And Proverbs 14:17 says, "A quick-tempered man does foolish things." And there's heaps more. There's heaps more verses about being quick-tempered and anger. But I think there's a pretty obvious common theme in these verses. Whenever I lose my temper, I lose. Now, get ready to have your minds blown. I thought of this one all on my own, and I was, oh man, it's gonna change you. The word danger is just anger with the D on the front. Oh, I know, right? Oh, it's crazy. But it's true, anger is dangerous. It really is dangerous. It might not be sinful to start with, but it is dangerous. You could lose your family, your job, your health, all just by losing your temper. Anger always alienates. I'm personally ashamed to admit how many times I've lost my temper around people who don't know Jesus. I bet they don't think much of the Savior I proclaim to follow based on my angry actions. Losing your cool can affect where people end up eternally. As Christians, we are called to be the salt of the earth, not the saltiest people on earth. Represent Jesus on a daily basis by controlling the way you react to inconveniences. Know the cost of your actions. Salvation is on the line. The second key I want to talk about is cooling down. In other words, don't respond impulsively. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." That's also pretty clear, isn't it? And I like the Living Bible translation because it says that a wise man holds his temper in and cools it. So I guess you could say that a wise man just knows how to chill out. You know, it's Malcolm's interpretation, I suppose. But often, a good way to cool down is to delay your response to something. Sometimes delaying just a few seconds can be enough time for you to change your brain into a good reaction rather than an overreaction. When you feel the anger pressure building, simply take a time out and think before you act. It's not a coincidence that one of the best ways to deal with a child having a tantrum is to put them in a timeout. My mum always used to tell me, count to 10 before I react to anything. But I think the reason that I've struggled with anger so many times is because she probably should have told me to count to at least 100. You should think your anger through in this time when you're cooling down. Just try these three simple thoughts. Why am I angry? What will happen if I don't control my anger? will the expression of my anger really fix this issue? Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. Part of being wise is being patient. Being able to slow down and know that God is at the center of it all will truly help you to control your anger. The next key that I wanted to talk about was communicating your anger correctly. Ephesians 4, verse 26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Now, I think that this verse clearly implies that you can have anger and sin separated. There's definitely a way to become angry, but not sin, but still dangerous, like I said before. But yeah, not all anger is sin, because God gets angry. He's also the one that gave you the capacity to get angry. He is saying that there are right ways to get angry, and there are wrong ways. There are appropriate ways to get angry, and there are inappropriate ways. Obviously, you need to learn to express your anger in the appropriate ways, because nothing ruins a relationship faster than fits of anger. A lot of psychologists in the modern world believe that we all have a set amount of anger that we build up and we just need to vent it to feel better. This is so wrong. The truth is that as Christians, no amount of earthly expressing our anger will truly make us feel better. The Holy Spirit is sure to convict us. When it comes to anger, we shouldn't repress it, we shouldn't suppress it, we shouldn't express it in the wrong way. No, instead, the Bible tells us to confess it. Pray. When you are angry at injustices that happen to you or people around you, talk to God. No one has suffered more injustices against them than he has. And no one has controlled their justified anger like he has. When you feel angry about something, it is the best thing you can do. Put God back at the center rather than fall into the trap. I really like the analogy that we read in the Cain story, where God talks to Cain and says, sin is crouching at the door, wanting to have you. It's so true. Don't let self-centered anger lead you to open that door. And I was thinking as well when we were singing that all the earth is going to shout your praise. It's another way. You know, when you feel like you just need to shout, why not shout the praises of the Lord? That's what I say, and you can do that in prayer. It's all about putting God back at the center. That's the way to communicate your anger correctly. Just pray to him. Talk to him about it. The next key that I wanted to talk about was to choose your friends wisely. Question for you all. Is anger contagious? Absolutely. Of course it's contagious. Can you become infected with someone else's anger? You bet you can. Have you ever noticed that when someone gets angry and loud, that you do as well? That's definitely me. The writer of Proverbs knows this when he says in Proverbs 22, verse 24, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. It's like a trap, like a dangerous trap. God is telling you to choose your friends wisely. If you really are serious about changing a habitual lifestyle of inappropriate anger, then you need to start fellowshipping with friends who know how to manage their anger. That is one of the benefits of a church. It's also one of the advantages of being part of a small group from a church. Why? Because the world is teaching you all of the inappropriate ways to express your anger. But when you're in church or a small group, you learn positive values and ways to act appropriately. Now, I'm not presuming to know who you work with or go to school with or generally hang out with, but what I do know is that the world is full of people who express anger inappropriately. Whether it be by starting arguments or fights, getting revenge, gossiping, or any of those type of things, it's all inappropriate. You need a balance of those inappropriate models. and the church or a small group can be that balance. And I'm not saying, hey, all those people that you know that act inappropriately, yeah, nah, never talk to them, or else I'd have no mates. So definitely don't do that. But it's simply making a conscious decision to be careful who you surround yourself with and make sure that you're supported enough to walk in an upright way so that you can be an example to them rather than be dragged down to their level. Often, I've hung out in circles where it's perceived as weakness to not get angry when someone wrongs you. But Proverbs 16:32 has a verse for that too. Solomon's wise counsel says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." That's right. In God's eyes, if you are able to control your anger, you're the opposite of weak. Don't let anyone in the world tell you that not retaliating or not exploding in rage is weakness. It's a lie from Satan, trying to further the world in their sinful ways. You see, I think that all anger is learned. But the good thing about that is that it can be unlearned. Because it is learned, parents out there, every time you blow up, you're modeling inappropriate behavior to your kids, and they're learning it. Now, I'm pretty lucky because I have parents who have never blown up at me, and they've definitely never blown up in front of me. Hey, Cameron. Yeah. Nah, I'm an eldest son, you know, I'm trying to keep the parents' image squeaky clean. But it's true. If anger is perceived by kids to be appropriate in the household, it's definitely going to translate to the outside lives as well. We should all just be careful of the influence we have on those around us and the influence they have on us as well. The fifth key, and probably the most important one that I want to talk about, is to change the way your mind works. In Romans 12, I think I should reword that. Choose to have your mind changed is probably a better way to put it. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, well, if you want to look it up, you can. I'll give you a chance. I'm so fast, eh? Far out. Sorry, my wife is telling me over and over again, don't rush it, just chill out. The wise man chills out. I got to remember that. But yeah, Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Quite a well-known verse, especially verse 2. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." See, the thing is, you can promise that you're not going to lose your temper again until you're blue in the face, and it's going to make no difference. You can make New Year's resolution after New Year's resolution, but it's never going to change you. The only way you can change is by submitting yourself fully to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The world's way is anger and revenge, but Jesus' way is love and forgiveness. We see this in Luke 23, which accounts Jesus' trial and his crucifixion. Who has ever had more right to be angry than Jesus in these moments? They bombarded him with questions. They hammered him with false accusations. But Jesus didn't answer. He didn't take matters into his own hands. Pilate saw that Jesus was innocent and had done nothing to deserve death, but they hated this innocent one. It is the same hatred and anger of Cain that led the crowd to cry, "Crucify him." But Jesus didn't take matters into his own hands still. You'd think he'd have every right to be angry, but he didn't put himself at the center. Rather, he put the Father's will at the center. He He loved you and he loved me so much that he still didn't take matters into his own hands. Instead, he allowed those hands to be nailed to a cross. He submitted to God's will, even to death. Jesus was not taking, but giving. Not hating, but forgiving. Not murdering, but murdered. Jesus is the total opposite of Cain. And when Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing," he gave us the ultimate example of how to handle injustice. Instead of expressing his anger in a worldly way, he expressed the most extraordinary patience. You see how he doesn't put himself at the center? Even when he had the right to be there. But instead, he came to reverse sin, so he took the mockery. He turned to God, trusted in God, prayed to God, instead of retaliating. And that's even though his anger would have been righteous anger, not the selfish anger of Cain and of you and me. This is our example, to turn away from earthly anger and all sin. Submit yourself to Jesus further each day and let your mind be renewed. And I think that's the most important point, that without Jesus, none of this is possible. Without Jesus, we are truly dead to sin, lost in our flesh, doomed to be angry all the time. So my way of wrapping this up is just to keep talking about Jesus, I guess, just because I think that is really the main key. It's the only way that we can be slow to anger and instead produce the righteousness of God. We need to take Ephesians 4, verse 32 to heart. It says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." We are to extend grace to others as God has extended grace to us. We who have been showered with God's grace in Christ are to give to other undeserving sinners the same outpouring of grace. From God to us to others. Grace to us, therefore grace to others. This is God's plan. We have been forgiven, so we know what it's like. Now go out there and do the same for others. It's what God's called us to do. You cannot understand God's love until you go to the cross. And you cannot understand the cross unless you see in it God's love. Man's murder became God's sacrifice. A heinous crime paid an impossible debt. Through the death of an innocent man, we, the guilty, go free. The work of salvation was finally done. But I don't want the whole point of this to be like, oh, Jesus came to make us cooler, better people. Because it's not true. He didn't come to make us nicer people. He came to make us new people. If you leave here tonight thinking, man, I really, you know, Malcolm was onto something there. I really should try harder to calm myself down, control my anger. That's a good sentiment. There's nothing wrong with that. But you're missing the main point. We need the Lord Jesus living in us. Christ living in us makes all the difference in the moments of temptation. When you feel you're at your most angry or most irritable, ask the Lord for the quality you most need at that moment. Your patience, Lord Jesus. Your kindness, Lord Jesus. Your love, Lord Jesus. Your courage, Lord Jesus. Your wisdom, Lord Jesus. Your joy, Lord Jesus. Or your compassion, Lord Jesus. If we believe that in Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of God, and if we believe that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, then we may believe that in our lives this week, the fullness of Christ, the beauty of Christ, the grace and mercy of Christ, and the holiness of Christ may fill us and drive us to overcome our impure expressions of anger. The thing is, it really does just boil down to, I know all the other points are part of it as well, but it really does boil down to that if you are living in Christ and Christ is living in you, then by God's grace, you will be slow to anger. That's pretty much all I had, so I'm just going to close it off in prayer now, if it's all right. Father God, we do thank you so much for this evening. We thank you that we're able to gather here. We're able to just look into your word about topics that are relevant today. I just pray that as you've spoken to us tonight about how to deal with anger, how to deal with that part of our flesh, I just pray that for those people who are more challenged than others or some who don't find it much of a challenge at all, I just pray that there'll be a new understanding of exactly what you've done to prevent us from being bound by that anger. Father God, I thank you so much for sending your son for us. I thank you so much that you didn't leave us stuck in the ways of Cain. You didn't leave us trapped by sin, by anger, by rage. But instead, you found a way to make us righteous in your eyes. So God, we can't thank you enough. But I just pray that as we go into our everyday lives, that you really will just help us to control our anger, control our responses to things that irritate us. Father God, fill our hearts with your love. Fill our eyes with yourself so that you truly are at the center. God, I apologize for the many times where I put myself at the center. I just pray that you strengthen me. I pray that you strengthen every one of us here to really go on and become people who glorify you, not just with what we say, not just with what we sing, but how we live our lives. Father God, make us an example to the world of just how we react to things in a way that is honorable to you. So yeah, God, I just do thank you so much for all you do for us, for everything that you're going to do for us. God, you truly are a great God, and we want to honor you with our lives. So we just pray this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.